In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His tent is in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shields and the swords, the weapons of war. You are resplendent with light, more majestic than the mountains, rich with game. Valiant men lie plundered. They sleep their last sleep. Not one of the warriors can lift his hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both horse and chariot lie still. You alone are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you are angry? From heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. When you, O God, rose up to judge, to save the all afflicted of the land. Surely your wrath against men brings you praise, and the survivors of your wrath are restrained. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let the neighboring lands bring gifts to the one to be feared. He breaks the spirit of rulers. He is feared by the kings of the earth.
Good morning, church. That's Psalm 76, for those of you who didn't catch that. So please do have that open in your hands with your Bible this morning. Psalm 76. And echoing what Michael said at the beginning of when he opened up the service, I won't keep you long, as I'm sure many of you will feel very blessed by. I don't know about you, church, but all the worship that we had this morning has roused me, as it should. Roused the soul and roused who our God is. This psalm uses lots of imagery as God being the lion of Judah, as we sung. And so in our first 1 to 10 verses, I've titled it The Lion's Throne from Victory. So this psalm is a victory psalm. We're not 100% sure what victory it was, likely to be Israel against Assyria, but they won, and victory is theirs, and the battle cry is victory. In verse 1, they start their cry, "In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel." God is known. Is that the battle cry of Fairfield? Is it the battle cry of the Western Church? Is God known? Or even coming even closer to your heart as the Connect groups lead these services? Is God known in the Connect groups? Is God known in your heart? Only you can answer that question. And I pray you do. Verse 2, his abode has been established in Salem. Salem was another name used for Jerusalem, a name that the Puritans actually took to the New World in America and named a place called Salem. His abode is there. Again, it's getting deeper. God is known in Judah, and now he's set up home in Israel. And the question again comes to you, comes to Fairfield, and each one of you here. Is God living in you? Does God have his abode in you? Only you can answer that question. But they are singing from victory because they know that God is known. They know that God lives with them, is in the temple, and victory is assured. How does your life reflect a truth? Does it? Does it reflect in me? This battle cry is something that the Christian church should be singing. So many similar images that we see of God being the lion. We see it throughout the Bible. We see it right from the beginning, right to Revelation. What is the importance of that image? When you think of a lion, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I have to say, the first thing that came to my mind whenever I think of a lion is Mustafa from The Lion King. It's always the first image that comes to me. Now, most of you, I don't normally use film analogies or illustrations very much because some people might not have seen it. I presume most people here have seen The Lion King. Yeah? There might be some people who haven't. But anyway, or another lion which a lot of people come to mind is Aslan from Narnia. The lion in those two movies is depicted as this glorious victor. The one who brings victory is so powerful and majestic that you cannot be but attracted to him. With Aslan, you just love him because he is kind, gentle, but ferocious and will win the victory. And it's the same with the Lion King. Little Simba was able to bite at his ear, run it into his arms, cause him great annoyance. But when he came to save, fear, majesty, and power. There's a reason why the Bible uses the lion to describe God. And throughout this psalm, it talks about as if the lion prowling through the mountains, greater than its prey, someone that their enemies fear. He broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war, verse 3. He destroyed them all. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains of prey that you roam. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoil, they sank into sleep, and the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, the rider and the horse lay stunned. When you think of God like that in your life, do you think of God as someone like that? We just sung it. The Lion of Judah, fighting our battles. Do you believe that? Is that true of you? Do you have stories to tell where God has won battles? We should be. We should be a church who is singing of the battles won. And we should be people singing of battles won. And now you might be thinking, what is a battle won? That's very personal. It could be a family member coming to know the Lord. It could be a job after years of unemployment. It could be a victory in an actual conflict where peace is now prevailing. What are we praying for in Ukraine? What are we praying for in Israel? We're praying for goodness and peace to be victors. We've lost a little bit of that as the Christian church. We've lost a little bit of the battle cry. Jesus, his church, and us are fighting for souls. We are in a war. We are in a spiritual war. But yet we don't talk about it very often. We live and breathe as if we are not in a war at all. But actually we are. And do we recognize that the God who, as a Christian, has made his home in you, his abode in you, are you suited for battle, as Paul describes in Ephesians? He uses battle imagery. Fighting for souls who do not believe in Christ from someone who has them captive, and as we have just sung, is breaking chains, is war. When you go to university for the first time, when you go to a new job, when you go to your workplace, when you go into the shops, when you do anything, you are in a battlefield. And the question you must be asking yourself in that battlefield is God known? Am I making God known in my life? Are you doing it? Or is that too uncomfortable? Jesus uses many stories and illustrations of fighting for souls. His ultimate victory was sacrifice on the cross. That was his ultimate battle cry. And yes, on the cross he may have been the lamb, but he is the lion who is coming in judgment. The lamb has made his sacrifice, but now judgment is coming. And it will be a battle and a war to end them all. And that's really quite scary. When we read of how God is in this psalm, men's mouths are shut. Their weapons, their shields, broken. Their horses and their chariots, stunned. The adversaries of the church in the next generations, when Jesus comes, all of this will be true and it will be our battle cry. Those who mock Christ, who mock the church, who mock God now, will be silenced. It will be. And how, as church, as Fairfield, as people of God, do you recognize that? Verse 7. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? Nobody. No one will stand. This psalm was written when a battle was won, because they saw God's judgment. They saw it. We as a church have not seen maybe what this psalmist has seen. But what we have seen and what we do know is that the judgment of God was so great, was so immense beyond all imagination, that it took his son to die for it to be satisfied. That is the immensity of God's wrath. Who can stand for that? If you think that you can stand against God's wrath when we knew what the outcome was on the cross, you are deluding yourself. From the heavens you uttered judgment, the earth feared and was still. We see that when Jesus calmed the storms, the raging storms, still. We see when Jesus was on the cross, darkness came, the earth cracked, and the temple broke. There will be silence on the last day, because there will be no response to God's accusations. When God arises to establish judgment, the earth will be humbled. Does God's judgment, does the fear of the Lord humble you? Do you feel humbled? All of this and God's judgment is not meant to put you in a place of utter terror. There will be an element of that, but it shouldn't just be that. Knowing the fear of the Lord brings about true humility. In Colossians, Paul writes, in the knowledge of the fear of the Lord, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, that when we know the fear of the Lord, when we know who is judge, when we know who will come and bring accusation, we cannot stand unless we are in the love of Christ. This is the response. The fear of the Lord brings about humility. If God is known in your life, it brings humility. It can do none other. And that the people of God is who will be saved. And so what is our response? Verses 11 to 12, the last two verses, I've named the lion's tribute. Verse 11, make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is feared, who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is feared by the kings of the earth. Ironically, we couldn't bring a tribute or a gift that is good enough. So, Jesus does it for us. Isaiah speaks of all the gifts, anything that we could bring to God, any work, any word, any action is like dirty rags. Doesn't mean we don't do it. But our tribute is Romans 12:1. Let me read that for you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That is our tribute. That is our gift. That is what we bring That is what we bring to the lion's throne. We present our bodies as living sacrifices. We put ourselves second. In the words of John the Baptist, he must be greater, I must be less. The Lord is living in you. He has made his abode in you. You are the temple. And the sacrifices that are acceptable to him are now you. Your life. It is not to repay. It is in response to the great victor that the lion and the lamb have achieved on the cross. And it is, as this psalm is, our battle cry. As we go on the mission field, whatever your mission field might be, that should be your battle cry. My God is great. God is known, and God will be known here through the living sacrifices of my life. That's what it should be. And so how do we apply this? How can we bring this home? When you live every day, do you think of yourself as a walking temple where God lives? Is Fairfield known? God is known here. And what is your service? What is your sacrifice? What is your living sacrifice? It is such a personal question, but one that I would really encourage you to go away and ask. As Peter says in his letters, make your calling and election sure. Is it genuine? Is it real? And as we said before, a sign of looking at is whether there is fruit there is humility. Seeing the fear of the Lord and being humble before it. Knowing who the Lord is. Asking yourself if you are humble is not the right question. Because the humble wouldn't ask that. But what the humble does ask, daily, every moment, is Jesus before all else in my life? When I make a decision, when my thoughts arise, when my actions take place, is Jesus before all else? Is Jesus commanding my destiny? Am I submitting as a living sacrifice to the Lord? I must decrease, he must increase. God is known.